Let us bow our head and start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for the light of your Holy Spirit. You would anoint our ears that we may hear that which you want us to hear, that transform our lives. Help us to say yes. We ask this in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what I'd like to do is just speak about John chapter 6 to start with, and then murmuring and exhaustion, which is mentioned here in both the first reading and the gospel, something I think we all experience from time to time during our pilgrimage of life. And then some words of the saints. Now, last week, this week, and next weekend, the church has been going through John chapter 6. And John chapter 6 is known as the Bread of Life Discourse. And this takes place approximately a year before our Lord will enter into his passion death, before he'll give us on Holy Thursday night the actual sacrament of his body, blood, soul, and divinity, the Holy Communion, where he gives us the sacrament of the Eucharist and that of the priesthood. Now, this is the very center of our faith, and it can be proven by Scripture that this is really, really true. Something that is something we have to accept by faith. No matter how brilliant one's mind may be or how high one's IQ and clearness, it ultimately comes down to faith, accepting Christ and his word, that what he said is actually true. Now, John chapter 6 is the longest of John's chapters in this particular gospel. And he starts off, last week he makes a statement before this particular verse in today's gospel, that I am the bread of life. And he said, you won't have eternal life unless you come to me. And then it starts off here, picks up in verse 41 today, where the Jews heard what our Lord said, and they murmured. Why? Because he said, it's the bread of life. Because murmuring ultimately comes down, I don't believe you. I don't trust you. So we murmur in the depths of our heart. And they go on. And our Lord says, amen, amen, I tell you, I am the bread of life. Now next week it gets even more explicit. He keeps going through this because the Jews didn't accept it. They murmured. Then it says they disputed in verse 52. Then the Jews disputed. And our Lord said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Our Lord is talking about eternal life. Eternal life is only the kingdom of heaven. Those that are damned in hell is called eternal death. So our Lord goes on, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed, and it keeps going through. He said, this is the bread that comes down from heaven. So anyone, just objectively, if they were to sit down, spend 3 minutes, read John chapter 6, our Lord makes it very, very clear. Those who are Protestants have since become Catholic, they said anytime they would read this gospel, before becoming Catholic, before seeing the Catholic eyes, they scratched their heads a little bit when they reflected, well, what does that mean? The bread of life, he must eat my flesh, drink my blood, because, for several reasons, because anytime our Lord Jesus Christ was misunderstood in the sacred scriptures, anytime he's misunderstood, he comes back with a clarification to make sure that those who are within a listening, are listening, understand clearly. So John, right here, just in John's gospel, for example, in John chapter 3, you have Nicodemus in chapter 3. He comes to the Lord. And our Lord talks about you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so Nicodemus takes our Lord at the word, whoa, born again, enter your mother's womb a second time. How can this be? There's a misunderstanding. So Lord, the teacher, the divine teacher, he knows our hearts and minds better than we know ourselves. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you're born of water and the Spirit. Oh, sacrament of baptism. And then you have in John chapter 4, you have the woman of Samaria, the woman of the well. She's at the well, and the apostles go off to get food, and then the Lord's apostles come back with food. Our Lord says, quote, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So the apostles are like, wait, he's got food to eat? Wait, we just went to go food. How did he get food? So our Lord sees that they misunderstand his words. So he makes it clear. My food is to the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. The soul is away, and I gave her truth, and she's embraced it, and that's feeding my soul because I'm doing the Father's will. So our Lord clarifies. So in John 6, our Lord keeps going through, and it says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. The Jews disputed, they murmured, they disputed, they argued, and then the sad verse, John chapter 6, verse 66. And many walked away from the Lord, they no longer walk with him. The majority, very sad, very sad. So we have to take our Lord at his word. Now in life, have you ever experienced in your life discouragement, murmuring in your heart, complaining, or just sheer exhaustion? Well, that's what happens here in the first reading with Elijah. Elijah is this great prophet of the Old Testament. So great that he appears in the New Testament with Moses to our Lord on Mount Tabor. So you have Elijah here. And what's he doing in this particular passage? He's running off to the desert. And he says, he just prayed for death and said, Lord, this is enough. I've had it up to here. This is tough trying to do your will. But he just came off a high. He just went against the 400 false prophets of Baal and was victorious in power. God worked him in a powerful way in miracles. But now he hears about the Queen Jezebel coming after him. He's discouraged. Oh man, these people always ask, this is difficult. I'm just out of here. I can't take this anymore. And he runs away. Have you ever had a day like that? You feel like, I'm just going to throw in the towel. This marriage is too tough. My kids are too tough. I can't put up with the relatives. Or whatever it may be. Maybe it's the workplace. We get discouraged. So what does the Lord do? And it's very curious, interesting how the Lord, how the church, the Lord's church, puts this first reading correlating into John chapter 6 this weekend. So what happens? An angel was sent by the Lord God to him. And the angel touched him, and he gave him harp cake, bread from heaven. And he said, he waked Elijah and said, look, here, I want you to eat. Get up and eat. This is the angel. Else the journey will be due too long for you. So Elijah got up, and he ate this heavenly bread from the angel, and he was strengthened by that food, and he walked for 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God of Horeb. Did something supernatural, just that one day eating, boom, and he goes. Wow. Our Lord is giving us a message here. We need heavenly bread, we need supernatural help on our journey of life. If we're not seeking that through the prayer and through the sacraments and receiving, living a life in Christ in the Eucharist, what's going to happen? We're going to get into discouragement much easier. And we might just get the point, I'm out of here. You know, it's shocking when you read the suicide statistics. You go, wow, the Lord loves these people. And they don't realize it because they haven't been coming to Him. They don't trust Him. Now, in the Gospel, our Lord is talking to people. They've seen, they've heard about our Lord's miracles. And it says they murmured. And they kept murmuring. We've all done that at one point. No, I can't believe this. You know, the boss just isn't fair. I can't believe my spouse. We start murmuring in our heart. Ultimately, you know what that murmuring is? In the depths, the real way to get to the essence of it, we don't believe that God loves us, that He has our best interest at heart. And every single thing that happens to us in life, somehow, some way, in a providential manner, God is working for our greater spiritual good. It takes deep faith to accept that and to realize that. Look at this, the responsorial psalm. Look at this. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. We have good times in life. We also have bad times. That's when we're living our faith, you know. When we bless the Lord at all times, no matter what's happening. Now, our faith rises and it falls when we meet the other, when we meet other people in relations. Huh? Sometimes you think, boy, if I had that person was in my life, or that person, I wouldn't have this process. Those are the opportunities where we get to live our faith. Now, I'm going to conclude here with just a few words of the saints. What the church is conveying to us by going through John's Gospel, when I'm, by God's grace, here with the Adoration Chapel, if we must, as Roman Catholics, as followers of Jesus Christ, take Him at His word and make Him, Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, the very center of our life. Why? Because the source, center, the summit of our faith taught by the church is Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. In the Eucharist. In the Eucharist. Every single saint, if you study the lives of the saints, of all the blessings and all the saints, all the canonized saints, all the venerables, Jesus Christ in the Eucharist was the center of the life. They did their utmost in their power to receive Jesus as often as possible. They did the best they could with all the time to spend time before our Lord in church, before the tabernacle, before the monstrance, in Eucharistic adoration. Let me just share just a few words, okay? Now, these are words, what I'm going to share right here, some words first of our Lord to different saints, okay? Here's one. Our Lord Jesus Christ, appearing to St. Gertrude the Great, he said, "Each time a person receives Holy Communion, something good happens to every human being in heaven, on earth, and in purgatory." Our Lord Jesus Christ, again speaking to St. Gertrude, said, "Each time that we look at the most blessed sacrament, each time our place in heaven is raised forever." So every time that you go to visit the chapel, even if you're there for an hour, or Father, some people said, "Father, I come by, I'm there 20 minutes, I pray my rosary, and I go off to work." Hey, great! That's great. Every time you look upon Jesus, thus sacrament, he said, your place in heaven is raised forever. You know, we shouldn't try to be, well, you know what, I just want to make it. No! The Lord doesn't want us to go just for the bronze medal. He wants us to go for the gold. Right? We just had the Olympics. We have to go for the gold. Can you imagine talking to an athlete for the Olympics? John, now how do you feel about winning the bronze? Well, you know what? I'm perfectly content. I came here with the intention. I wanted to get the bronze medal, and I got it. Can you imagine if you were that guy's coach? Are you crazy, John? You should go for the gold. That's what we're saying. Go for the gold, huh? Not just like trying to make it heaven, but striving for heroic virtue. Here's another one. For each Mass, our Lord said, each Mass that we hear with devotion will give us greater comfort at the hour of our death. And there's a lot of other, well, let's get a couple more quotes here. These are so good. But here's another one. Holy Mass is the most powerful atonement for your sins. Every time that we sin, there's that punishment due to sin. Every time you receive our Lord in the Holy Communion, in the state of sanctifying grace, every time you spend time in adoration, it's purifying your soul and atoning, which means, if you do that enough, no purgatory. These are sort of repetitive here. So just a couple words of the saints. Now here, a couple saints here. Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, you know, a recent saint. She died September 5th, 1997. She goes, each time we look upon Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, he raises us up into a deeper union with himself, and he opens the floodgates of his merciful love to the whole world, and brings us closer to the day of his final victory, where every knee will bend and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. The reign of God is already in the midst, Mother Teresa goes on. The coming of Jesus to us in the Eucharist is the assurance of his promise of final victory. Behold, I come to make all things new. Well, there's a lot of words and wisdom there. So she says, every time that you and I go and we're before our Lord, floodgates of graces come out. Did she say just for us? No, for everybody. So if we're receiving these floodgate of graces, does it just stay here as a pool? No, we go out, it splashes around. It touches other souls, so it affects others for the good. Here's another one. Archbishop Fulton J. Sheehan, who is venerable, and he's almost beatified, so he's a long way. And this is a little more heady, but neither theological knowledge nor social action alone is enough to keep us in love with Jesus Christ, unless both are preceded by a personal encounter with him. Theological insights are gained not only between the two covers of a book, but from two knees bent before an altar. The holy hour becomes like oxygen tank to revive the breath of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the soul, amid this atmosphere of the world. And there's many other wonderful quotes here. Now, it all comes down to this. Do you and I believe Jesus Christ is Lord? You say, amen, Father, I do. So does Jesus Christ ever lie? No, he gives us the truth. He tells us plainly throughout the scriptures and in his church and catechism, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Your life, my life, to have any meaning, have any depth, must be centered there. If it's not, we're just living in a fantasy land. There's no substance there. Nothing that lasts for eternity. So we have the faith. We're good people. I love it when I go to chapel and see so many people in there, and you're here at church now. But we must pray to have a deeper faith. Deeper faith. I've seen this, and maybe you've seen your family. People who are Catholics for 70 years fall away. And they go to some other church where they don't have the Eucharist, where they don't have the Mass. It's very sad. It's So we must pray for perseverance. We must pray to have a greater love. And if we do, we're not going to be like, I'm going to throw in the towel. It'll give us strength to continue our pilgrimage of life and usher us right into the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.